All righty then. If you have your Bibles, why don't we first turn to the book of Jude? And once you get to the book of Jude, I want you to kind of mark that page with your finger, your nose, a piece of paper, whatever will fit in there. And then flip back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and find verse 17. And then when you have Jude and 1 Timothy, I want you to go back to Jude to verse 24. And this song is out of my range, I'm going to tell you right up front, so I can't really sing it perfectly, but that's beside the point. This is a good song, and the wonderful thing about this song is absolutely 100% scriptural. Okay? You can't go wrong with this song. So it starts with verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. With exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Back to Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. With exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen, amen, amen. 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 So there. And you know, that's scriptures, that's promise. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. But the question is, are you going to let him keep you from falling and present you faultless? In order to do that, we need to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need faith. And that's part of what my subject is going to be tonight, is faith. And I had a little bit of discussion today with somebody, more of a correspondence than a discussion. I was sent an email with an article, and I read the article, and I responded back. And I ended up placing the article on my blog after I took it out from being a little bit personal to just entitling it Effective Faith versus Weak Faith. There is a difference. If you turn to Romans 14, you're going to see that Paul begins to address a situation in the Roman church about those that are weak in faith. And in Romans 14, 1, it says, "Him that is weak in the faith received ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. Now let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that which eateth judge not, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be upholden, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, and another man esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. And he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." Now this whole passage Paul is going to, he's bringing out a situation that more important than anything is that we have to have charity one for another, because true faith is always going to be working by love. Faith works by love. But there is still the distinction I want to bring out here, is you got two classes of people. You got one who obviously has an effective faith, and you have one who has a weak faith. And when you look at these two, they're doing things that are actually almost to the contrary of each other. In the first place, the one that has faith, he can eat anything, but he that's weak in faith, he only eats herbs. Now, some commentators have concluded that the weak in faith was probably Jews over in Rome who still felt like eating any meat or anything that was possibly offered to idols or wasn't kosher, that it was wrong for them to eat it. But the Gentile believer was more at liberty to eat anything because he gave thanks to the Lord, and he didn't have the bondage of the old dietary laws that came with the Levitical or Mosaic law. So some feel that the Gentiles were eating anything, were being judged by the Jews, because they were still holding to this letter. We can't do that. Their faith was more in what they do rather than him who cleanses all things. Now, my point is just real simple. I don't want to get off on the dietary aspect. I want to stay to the point of weakened faith and effective faith. When we come to the Lord, we come to the Lord with a limited understanding of things. And basically, God desires for us to grow in an understanding of what really is God's will for us. Faith comes by hearing, and that hearing the Word of God. If we are going to have true, effectual faith, and this is the thing we need to understand, faith is supposed to be working. Faith is supposed to be effectual. But there is a faith that isn't really effectual. It doesn't mean that that faith doesn't please God, because here the one weak in faith, he's not eating herbs. He's not eating things that he should. We remember when God came to Peter and gave Peter the vision of the big napkin coming down from heaven and opening up from the four corners, and there were all manner of unclean things. And the Lord said unto Peter, "Rise, kill, and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I haven't eaten any unclean thing." And he got the vision three times. And finally the Lord said, "Listen, Peter, what I have cleansed, don't call thou unclean." But of course the lesson to that was God was getting ready to allow Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles and to minister to them who were not Jews. That was going to be a big thing for Peter's life. And so God needed to really open Peter's understanding up that, listen, faith allows us to go and do God's will even when we didn't see or understand it beforehand. But before that, Peter was unable to effectually minister to a Gentile because he had a weak faith, because he was holding back to something that was no longer relevant or applicable in his life. God wants us to have an effectual faith. Again, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, you can please God with weak faith, but you can only please God up to the limit of what you are doing you're doing unto the Lord, and the Lord is pleased that you're not compromising your own heart in your relationship with him. But had Peter continued in his weak faith of holding on to this not eating unclean things, he never would have went out and ministered to the capacity that the Lord wanted to use him. While God still acknowledges the heart of the one with weak faith, it prevents you from doing what God's called you to do to the potential that God wants to use you. But you're never going to get out of weak faith until we go over what we did 2 weeks ago. Give all diligence to add to your faith virtue and knowledge. In your heart, change your heart. Let God come in and change your heart to do whatever God wants you to do because it's the right thing to do. But add to that faith knowledge. Seek God's will. Seek it through seeking his word, praying over his word, and also seek it by being on your face before the Lord, asking God to open your mind, open your heart to what is it God wants you to be doing. We are to be about the Lord's business, and the night is far spent. The opportunity for us to be effectually laboring for the kingdom of God, that opportunity is getting smaller with each passing hour. We're no longer in the last days. When we look at the time given to us in scriptures from Adam and the genealogies up until the time now, we are roughly in that 6,000-year period. And if we look at what Peter says, that a day unto the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day, we would say then that we are coming to the conclusion of a millennial week. We are not only in the last millennial day, we are in the last hours of that millennial day, or possibly even the last minutes of that millennial day. And what God is desirous to do to his church is to awake his church to a faith that's not a weak faith, but an effectual faith. A faith whereby God can acknowledge your faith and move on your behalf with his power to do what? Make dead men alive. To make those who are willing new creatures. To make that which was tainted and defiled and unacceptable without spot or blemish or any such thing. We do this by faith. We have the admonition of Peter again where we purify our souls by obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, unpolluted love of the brethren. How? Because we are obeying the truth. We are obeying what God's given us to do. We have effectual faith. Effectual faith puts you in a category to where you're just not being faithful to your own heart, that you're only eating herbs because you don't have faith to eat meat, or you're only ministering to the Jews because you don't have faith to go to the Gentiles, or you're only staying within your own realm of comfort because you don't believe that God's able to take you into the enemy's camp and let you proclaim the message to him. God wants you to have a faith that you know that not only does God go before you, but he's your rearward, and God is with you to give you the victory, to make you the overcomer, to make you an effectual witness to the world. The reason God gives his Spirit unto us is that we are to be a light unto a dark generation who doesn't know God. Amen. And if they don't know God, they are without hope, they are without life, and eternity is on the threshold for a world that knows not God. We can't just be content to have a weak faith. We are told to build up our faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. We must seek God. We must give ourselves to prayer. We must give ourselves to listening to God so that we understand, we know his will, we receive that faith which comes with the hearing, not only of reading the Bible, but hearing God's Spirit himself speak to our heart. This is what I want you to do. To go forth and do what God saved and equipped you to do, to be a witness. That's the call. And the reason God gives us his word and the reason God gives us his Spirit is because God wants to empower us to be saints and to be faithful. Now on that, I would like to turn to the book of Colossians. Chapter 1, Paul starts off, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brothers, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is speaking to the saints and the faithful. We need to understand that this is the church of Jesus Christ. To be called a Christian is to be one who is following Christ. The Word of God tells us very clearly, they that name the name of Christ, they are to depart from iniquity. Iniquity is transgression of the law or walking contrary to the revealed will of God. And Paul, speaking to the church and speaking to the saints, he calls them saints and faithful. We are to be faithful. We are to be doing that which God has given us to do. That means when we get up, our task is to serve He who saved us. We find it so easy in this country where we were brought up with this concept of rights and liberty and freedom to think that we get up and the day is ours and that we can come and go as we want. We can do what we want. Every idle word that we speak, we are going to give an account to God for, which means that our tongue is something that is accountable to God. It is one of the smallest of our members, and yet God is holding that in account for every idle thing that it utters. And when it comes to our hands, James tells us to cleanse our hands, that our hands are not to be touching any unclean thing. And our hearts are to be purified, meaning that in our hearts we are not harboring anything that is contrary to God or His will or His kingdom or His glory. We've been brought up in a society that teaches us that we can do what we want, when we want, with whomever we want, because we want. And that's not true. You might have the ability to do that. But trust me, everybody is going to stand before God and give an account for the things that they have done in their body. And to those who were contentious and obeyed not the truth, the Word of God is very clear that tribulation and anguish will be the reward of those that obeyed not the gospel of Jesus Christ. But to those who through patience and continuance and well-doing sought to honor God and to give Him glory, well, everlasting life. It is really that simple. It is the faithful. You cannot have effectual faith without faithfulness being attributed to you. We always hear that we want to hear when the Lord comes that He says to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because if a man knows to do good, or since my sons are here, or if a son or a child knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And the consequence of sin is always going to be the same for anybody whosoever. Just as God being no respecter of persons, His promises goes out to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whosoever shall seek shall find. Whosoever shall ask it shall be given. Whosoever will knock it will be opened. We are not going to come into the faith that God truly wants us to have unless we are proactively seeking to the point that when we find that source to where we can have our prayers answered, then we ask for it and we petition God until finally we come to the point that the desire of our hearts are so great that we do not leave the presence of God, but we continue to knock until He opens up and we come into a place of communion and fellowship with Him. We're not called just to a belief. We're not called to a weak faith. We're not called to be given negative and positive inclinations about, well, maybe I think God wants me to do this. God's called us into a place where He wants us to know Him and hear His voice so that He can direct our faith, so that we can, in faith, proclaim the gospel with boldness, with confidence. And that requires effective faith. Now, you'll notice if you go back on your own time and you look over Romans 14 again, nowhere was there the contrast given by the Holy Spirit through Paul of weak faith and strong faith. It's just weak faith and faith. Faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is substance. It is tangible. We know that we know because God has made it real to us because we have sought Him. We've asked Him. We've knocked. He's answered. He's equipped. He's empowered. We know His voice. We walk with Him. One of the songs I wanted to sing tonight, but I didn't do it, was just simply, He walks with me. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He walks with me. He talks with me. That's true. I sing that song oftentimes by myself because that is true. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives in my heart. There is communion and fellowship that I have with the Lord. In Colossians, verse 3, Paul says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints." If you have faith, it's because you have love working in your heart. You're thankful for what God has done unto you, and you in turn want to turn and share that out to other people. One of the greatest witnesses that you truly have faith in Jesus Christ is you want to share that with other people. You want to share what God's done unto you. You want to testify who it is that has made the change in your life. Verse 5, "And for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit." It brings forth fruit. If you truly hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and if you truly are having effectual faith, it is going to be bringing forth fruit, not only in your life, but it's going to be working to be bringing forth fruit in somebody else's life. On the way up here, Albert was sharing with me in the car, there's a missionary that has come to the sanctuary and was sharing a few things with the guys at the sanctuary. And he shared this little thing, and I might get it wrong, and Albert can correct me if I do. But basically, there's this one guy that this missionary met often who was serving God and doing things, but he would always ask him the same question: "Who's following you? Who's following you?" Now, the significance of that question was, if you're growing in the Lord, then who's following you to grow with you? Where's the influence that you're having in your life? And it's not that everybody should be starting their own church or something, but if we truly are growing in the Lord, we are going to have an effect on other people where they're going to be seeing what God is doing in our life, and they're going to be following us in the sense of walking the same direction, paying attention, wanting to grow, wanting to learn, so that they too can come to a point of not having weak faith, but having an effectual faith. We are to be influencing other people to where they want what we have. But weak faith is never going to stir up the appetite of an unbeliever. Because weak faith is simply you being true to your conscience before the Lord, because you don't really know what His will is. Therefore, you're really not abounding in His truth or His liberty. You're merely functioning in your own obedience and conscience before God. God wants to bring us out of that into something greater. Faith. And faith is effectual because faith has effect on other things. It changes things. Technically, you can move mountains. You can speak to the sycamine tree. "Be thou uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey us." Faith works. And it works by love. And here we see that it brings forth fruit. Verse 6 again. "Which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you since ye heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth." We need to be actively every day praying and seeking God and His will in our life. Jesus told the Samaritan woman that if she knew who He was, that she would be asking Him for a drink, because everybody who drank from Him would thirst no more. Well, Jesus has said to all of us to come, "All ye who are thirsty, all ye, come unto me and drink freely." Drink, drink. You know, God so much wants to fill us with His grace, with His truth, with His Spirit. The only limitation to God filling us is our drinking of Him. You hear me say it all the time here, and I'll say it again. You're only as holy as you want to be. You are the exact Christian you want to be. Now, you might argue, I say, "No, I want to be a better Christian than I am." That's true. But if you're a Christian who wants to be better, then you are actually a very good Christian, because your focus is right. Your heart is single. It's not divided. Your eye is looking unto Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. If you are focused on God and His will in your life, then you are complete. You are perfect in Christ. It's as if you plant a tomato seed. Once that tomato seed germinates and springs up out of the dirt and opens up them first two leaves to get the sun, that tomato plant right there with the very first two leaves is an absolutely perfect tomato plant. Because of where it's at, the time it's had to grow, it's alive, it's growing. And it'll continue to be a perfect tomato plant all the way up to the point of bringing forth fruit to perfection. No, we haven't achieved that which God has called us to achieve yet. But He has called us to be perfect. He has called us to love Him with all our heart. He has called us to be in step with the leading of His Spirit, to be listening to His voice, and to be doing what He's given us to do. This is just real simply my message tonight. I don't want to labor it anymore. I want you to go away and just think about it. Do we have weak faith? Or do we really have effectual faith? Faith that carries with it the promise of God to bring forth fruit to His glory for His name's sake. Don't settle for weak faith. Don't settle for weak faith. Amen. Let's close with prayer.